It's time for The Car Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's The Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
And good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston. My name is John Paul, the Car Doctor, here to help you with your car problems on this, what's going to turn out to be a pretty good weekend. And hopefully, if you're one of those people that has the Columbus Day weekend off, you can be able to enjoy the weekend and maybe take a trip around and see what's going on and check things out and kind of find out what the weekend's all about. A couple things going on today. We're going to be talking with my co-worker, Mary McGuire from AAA. We're going to be talking about some new registry services that are coming up. Also, we're going to be talking with Stuart Shore. Stuart Shore is the Vice President of Public Relations for Jaguar. And I got a chance to spend a few minutes with him to talk about what's up with Jaguar and Land Rover these days. And then also, a little bit after that, we're going to be talking about the car that I've been driving around the last couple of days, and that's the Dodge Charger RT with the Scat Pack option. And we'll talk about that high-performance car that's both high-performance in the car itself as well as the high-performance color. It is the reddest red that I have ever seen in a long, long time. And then an update on what's going on with the Volkswagen diesel issue. I got an article from Consumer Reports that just came out that really kind of said what happens when they put the car back into that test mode and what really happens. Does the car, is the performance that bad? Are the emissions levels that change that much? So a lot of things going on. So we have all kinds of things going on today. And of course, we want to take your calls and comments. And I'm didn't leave the house this morning, so I will let you know I'm broadcasting from home, and I didn't pick up the Globe today, and after last week's Boston Globe controversy, am I in or out of the Globe, it looked like I was out on Saturdays, I was coming in on Sundays, and now it looks like I'm back in on Saturdays again. So if you pick up the Globe and I'm there, I guess that's where I am. So that's what I've been told. So back in on Saturdays. But with us on the phone is Mary McGuire. Mary McGuire is my co-worker at AAA, as well as the public affairs director for AAA Northeast. Mary, good morning and welcome to the Car Doctor program.
Hey, well, thank you, John. Good morning, and I'm happy to hear that you're broadcasting from home. Are you in your pajamas, John? Or
I am not. I am not.
Okay. I won't tell you. I may be in my pajamas.
No, that's probably more than everyone needs to know about that. So
true.
Yeah. So, you know, why we wanted to get together was throughout our club area, whether it's in AAA Northeast area in Connecticut or AAA Northeast area in Rhode Island, we have been offering registry services for years. And recently we just started offering registry services in Massachusetts, and we're starting to expand that program, right?
Yeah, we're actually hoping to expand to all 30 Massachusetts branches at AAA Northeast ultimately. But what I can tell you now is that, first of all, this is a terrific program for AAA members, and it's also helped reduce the lines at the RMV for everyone. And this is a partnership that we started or embarked upon with the RMV, the Registry of Motor Vehicles, about 6 years ago with pilot programs in Worcester. And we are now offering registry services, not in all of our AAA Northeast Massachusetts locations, but in 12 of those. And they are Framingham, Saugus, South Dennis, West Springfield, which is our sister club, AAA Pioneer Valley, Westwood, Worcester, Burlington, Hadley, also belonging to our Pioneer Valley sister club, Newburyport, Newton, Rockland, and Somerset. So we've got branches everywhere from Western Mass to Central Mass to Cape Cod with the South Dennis location. And we're very proud of that, and we've gotten tremendous response from AAA members to this service, and I think it's really going to be a program that is going to take off more and more, and we want to make more and more people aware of it, which is why I'm talking with you this morning.
Yeah, it's absolutely true, and true in both ways, that AAA members can come into our offices, which takes the amount of people away from the lines at the regular AAA, at the regular registry offices. So it's a win for both sides. And even though some people opt to renew their licenses online or renew their registrations online, you can't do that all the time. You can only do your license renewal every other time, because it's important to get a current picture and an eye test. So even though you might say, oh, I can renew my license online, well, you can only do that once over a 10-year period. So you have to go back and actually wait in line. And I know that, for instance, on my wife's license, I think about a year ago, we were driving by the South Dennis office. It was about 12:30. And I said to her, rather than go wait in line at the registry office, let's zip into the South Dennis office. It was Saturday, so a day that the registry wouldn't normally be open. We went in. There was one person in line in front of her. In and out in a few minutes, and I spent time talking to Dave Gibbons, the manager. So it was a win all the way around.
It was a win-win for you too. But you know what? It's so great to hear that story, and we hear so many stories like that from members. And I have a similar story, which is that I renewed my license a couple of years ago in Framingham, and it literally took, I think, under 2 minutes. And again, that's what we hear from members so often. I want to mention a couple of things. You talked about Saturday in the Boston Globe, and congratulations on that. But I do want to mention that our AAA branches that offer registry services have the only RMV hours on Saturdays in Massachusetts. So if any of your listeners or people who are watching on the web need to renew, they can certainly do it this morning. Between 9 and 1 at any of those branches I mentioned in Massachusetts that offer registry services. And I think this is really incredibly important for working families, people who have a young driver in their homes and need to do an original registration or license and can't get there during the week because they're working or their kids are in school. And we should mention that as well, that what we offer for the most part are routine license and registration renewals, in addition to a variety of other services that I can also talk about. But these are not original license and registration transactions. These are renewals, and your license must be and registration must be in good standing.
That's right. You can't come in and decide you want to change your name at one of the AAA offices, for instance.
That's exactly right.
It wouldn't be something like that. But it'd be normal. You know, my license is going to expire in the next, you know, 30 days or 90 days or whatever the case is. And actually, a good reminder for people, especially people that maybe they're thinking about going away for the winter time and their license expires in February, you can renew your license up to 1 year early and never change the expiration date. So if you have a February birthday and you decide that, oh, I'm going to be going to Florida, you can go into a AAA office now if you're a AAA member, and it's one of our offices that does registry services. Get your license all renewed now. You'll get the new one in the mail in about a week or so, and you'll be all set. You won't have to worry about any of that while you're in Florida.
That's a great reminder for people out there, especially those who like to plan like I do. I like to get things done ahead of time, so I think that's a terrific reminder. You're right. We don't do the name changes. We do address and height changes during the renewal transaction, however. And we can do the Class D and license. So if you've got the motorcycle edition, we do the mass ID renewal, duplicate Class DM or DM licenses. And we get a lot of requests for duplicates in Westwood, where I work at the Public Affairs Office. Our branch in Westwood does a lot of duplicates. So those are some of the things that may be helpful for people to know in terms of what they can do.
A better question is,
I know, but I have to plead guilty because my daughter just misplaced her license, but she was able to go into a AAA branch and get a duplicate. So it worked out very well for her as well, and she was able to do it in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, it really is. And we have exactly the same equipment the registry offices have. So if people think, oh, well, maybe they're doing something, it's registry equipment. It's supported by the registry IT department. So exactly the same equipment. We're just there on, I think, much more convenient hours for a lot of people, and especially the Saturday hours where people can come in from 9 to 1.
Yeah, people really do love the Saturday hours, and I think with good reason, certainly, because it just gives them an alternative. And sometimes people arrive at the registry on Saturday morning, and they know that they've got a AAA alternative out there, and we do try to direct them through signage at those registry branches and locations to the nearest AAA branch that offers registry services. So I think that's a helpful piece of communication that we've put out there. We don't do commercial driver's licenses. I should mention that because we get a lot of requests for those as well. So just want to let people know that. But again, you know, as you say, we do not charge any kind of an additional fee. You should come with cash, check, credit card, and your social security number, by the way. And all of the fees are the same fees that the registry charges, and we simply transfer those fees, those funds to the registry.
Yeah, it's just a nice and simple, and it works out. It works out well for people who want to come in, and it just it's one of those things that I was talking to. I was teaching a child pastor safety class this week, and I was one of my co-teachers was a firefighter from Danvers, and he said to me, "You know, I've been a AAA member for 20 years. I don't know when I've used your service last. I haven't had any flat tires. I haven't had any jump starts. I haven't really had to use you." And then all of a sudden he stopped for a second and he said, "Except for registry services where every one of my family members has gone in and renewed their driver's license." He said, "So I guess I really have used your services."
Oh, that's great to hear. And you know what? You raise a great point. A lot of people join AAA now simply so that they can avail themselves of the registry transactions that we have available. So you're absolutely right. It's a great value-added service for members, and I think it has worked well for the Registry of Motor Vehicles as well in terms of getting more people out into different locations, out of the branches.
Yeah, it really is. So it's a great service all the way around, available for AAA members, available at no additional charge. So it's not like there's any special markup or anything. No, just whatever the registry charges is what we charge, and we're happy to see everybody coming in.
We sure are. And by the way, speaking of coming in, I get a lot of calls about the hours, 9 to 5 Monday through Friday at AAA Northeast locations offering registry services, Saturday 9 to 1. And for those listeners who might be out there in the Pioneer Valley area in West Springfield and in Hadley, the hours are 9 to 5:30, so you have an extra half hour to get there after work. And by the way, Thursday nights, they are open until 7 p.m. as well as being open Saturday also from 9 to 1 as we are at AAA Northeast. So you've got a little bit of extra time to get there if you live in Western Mass.
I remember those extended hours. I used to work those hours, but
you work long hours anyway, John. You work extended hours.
But one of the other things that's been certainly in the news this week is an example. My wife was looking through Facebook this morning and she noticed a Facebook post from her hairdresser who was involved in a crash last night. And the crash was caused by a woman texting behind her who wasn't paying attention and ran into somebody. And even though texting is illegal in Massachusetts, it's pretty hard to enforce because when you have a phone in your hand, are you texting? Are you dialing? Are you simply turning your phone on or off? Hard for police officers to tell. And this week in the news, and you were on, I think you were on every major network, including Inside Boston on Channel 2, or whatever that program's called.
Greater Boston.
Yeah, Greater Boston on Channel 2, with some of your old friends, including a police officer from Arlington. So there's a bill kind of afoot right now to ban the use of handheld cell phones, and one of the reasons we certainly support it is because the police departments can't enforce texting because they can't tell if someone's texting or they're simply holding the phone in their hand.
Well, you're absolutely right, John. It's still legal to dial a phone number in Massachusetts from your phone while you're driving, and so it's very difficult for police to figure out if you are texting, if you are reading a text or dialing a phone number, which is still legal. So it's made the texting ban, which is critically important because texting has really become an epidemic here in Massachusetts. It makes the texting ban, which is so important, easier for police to enforce. And that's a really important step. It's interesting that you tell the story about your wife. I just bumped into a friend of mine who's a businessman here in my hometown of Norton yesterday evening, and he had been hit by a person who was texting, broadsided him, never applied the brakes. Fortunately, he was wearing his seatbelt, and he was still pretty badly injured, and so he most certainly would have been ejected if he hadn't been wearing the belt. But, you know, what I would like to say is that we think this is a critically important step in terms of enforcement, which is why we supported the 4 to 5 hands-free cell phone bills that are now under consideration on Beacon Hill. What I also need to say from the AAA perspective, and John, you certainly know this all too well as our manager of traffic safety, that hands-free is not risk-free. This is a step towards better enforcement, and that's why we're supporting it. It is not a total solution to the problem of being distracted by your phone while you're driving. And why is that? Because we all know that there's something called inattention blindness, where because we are so cognitively involved in focusing on our phone conversation, we don't see the stop sign, we don't see the pedestrian, we don't see the kid on the bike, because we're not focusing on our driving and on scanning the horizon and those things we're supposed to do when we're driving. We're focusing on our conversation, and that requires a lot of brain power that's being misdirected to the phone that should be directed towards driving.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, there is statistically, and I don't know how much the number means, but, you know, there's less than 2% of the population that can truly multitask and do it correctly. Everybody can multitask. Everybody can walk and chew gum. But can they truly multitask and do two things as well as they can do one? The majority of the people just can't do that. And that's one of the reasons why you can't text message when you drive. And our friend, mutual acquaintance, Dan Strollo, who runs the In Control Advanced Driver Training School, one of the drills he does is he gives all of the students a calculator. So it sort of simulates texting, and you drive along, and they just pick something random, like look at the time on the clock and add those numbers together on the calculator, which is essentially what you're doing when you're texting. And then the car in front of you comes to a stop, and your job is not to run into it. And no one that he has been able to run through these drills has ever been able to do it successfully. So people just can't text and drive. They just can't. They can't do it if an emergency happens. It's just not possible. So for people who try to say, oh, I can do it, they just got lucky. It's like the people who have driven drunk and say, well, it's okay. Well, the average person drives drunk like 75 times before they finally get arrested. So you look at this and like, well, you got lucky while you were texting and you're driving. It isn't that you were skilled, you were just lucky.
You know what, that is such a great point, because the next time you may not be lucky, and you're absolutely right. Everybody thinks that they can multitask better than the next person. You know what, when you're doing the average text, if you're composing a text message, 4.6 seconds is the average duration that we talk about. You're easily covering the length of a football field if you're driving 60 miles an hour. And the other reminder that I think is important for Massachusetts drivers and for all of us to remember is that it's also illegal to read a text message in Massachusetts, not just to write and send one, but to read one. And I see rampant numbers of people out there who are reading their phones, and their phones are right up to their faces, so there's little doubt about what they're doing. So again, hopefully these bills, which would take the phones out of people's hands, will make the roads safer for everyone. Certainly, it's not a measure that will make everyone happy, but it will make everybody safer, I think, in many respects, in terms of creating better enforcement. And safety on the roadways is the first priority. Your safety, your passenger safety, and the safety of everybody else out there to whom you have a solemn responsibility when you get behind the wheel.
Yeah, some people will say, well, what's the difference between talking on the phone, either hands-free or with the phone in your hand, and having a passenger in the car and having the same conversation? The difference is the person you're on the phone with can't see the road. And how many of us, and I'm sure you included, Mary, you're driving down the road and all of a sudden somebody yells to you, hey, watch out. Well, that's because they're also paying attention when you may not be. And you don't get that when you're on the phone with someone.
Well, you're absolutely right. Definitely safer to have that person in the passenger seat or the back seat who says, hey, wait a minute, put your brakes on, or is watching. And we got that question a lot this week. It's simply not the same as talking on the phone. The person on the phone can't see those road hazards that your passengers can. They become another set of eyes. But you know what? Full disclosure for me, I can't multitask. I can't even drive my car and talk to someone in the passenger seat and focus on my driving. And it happened to me last night. I was driving to the movies with my son, who came home from college for the first time in quite some time, and I was very interested to catch up with him. And we were chatting, and I was supposed to take the ramp to 95 South to Providence from 95, and instead I got on the 95 ramp to Boston because I'm so accustomed to doing that to go to work every day. And so at any rate, you know, I can't even talk to my passenger and focus on my driving.
More importantly, Mary, what did you see at the movies?
Actually, I saw Black Mass, which was very good. And a friend of mine actually had two scenes in it, so we were very Mark Carver. Who's
I assumed you saw Martian, so there, you know.
I want to see Martian. That's on my list.
All right. Okay, Mary, I'll let you go. Enjoy the weekend. It's Columbus Day weekend. A lot of people have Monday off, and so hopefully if you have Monday off, you can enjoy the weekend. It looks like it's going to be great. We got through all the rain last night, so I think it's going to be a great weekend for people to, you know, carve that pumpkin or, you know, go out and enjoy the outdoors. And, you know, maybe there's an occasional leaf that turned color. I haven't seen any yet. All the only ones that turned color are the ones that turned brown and fell off into my yard, so.
You'll be raking on Monday.
No. All right. Mary, if people want more information on our registry services, they can go to our website, AAA.com.
That's right, AAA.com/registry.
Yep.
In fact, and we'll have all of the whole listing is there for locations, et cetera, and you can feel free to email John or myself or give us a call, and we'll be happy to chat with you about the program as well.
Okay, take care, Mary. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Have a great weekend, John. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
My coworker and almost desk mate. We actually almost sit next to each other sometimes. We're divided by a thin wall when she's in Providence. And then sometimes I go and take over her office in Westwood, too. Why don't we take a break, pay some bills? My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program. You're listening on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. We'll be right back.
Have you heard? The Old Farmer's Almanac is calling for another tough winter. But there's great news. Your friends at Sullivan Tire and Auto Service will help you get prepared for whatever Old Man Winter has in store. Check out these amazing deals on tires in October. Buy three and get the fourth one free on all snow tires in stock. Buy three, get the fourth tire free on all Yokohama all-season tires. And there's more. Buy four Bridgestone tires or four BF Goodrich tires and receive a $70 mail-in rebate. Thousands of brand-name tires are now on sale. Something for everyone, plus additional mail-in rebates on many top brands. And at Sullivan Tire, you can trust our team of ASE-certified professionals to keep your car running right. We do it all. Factory-scheduled maintenance, winterizing, batteries, brakes, mufflers, oil changes, tune-ups, computerized wheel alignment, and so much more. Winter doesn't need to get the best of you, not with Sullivan Tire on your side. Visit SullivanTire.com/60years or call 877-592-TIRE.
Start your own business? They'll say you're crazy to put everything on the line to be your own boss, but not GoDaddy. We like that courageous, passionate kind of crazy, and we can help you put the idea or business you're crazy passionate about online. With our Get Online Today toolkit, you get a memorable domain name, a professional website, and a personalized email powered by Microsoft Office 365. Sound expensive? It's not. For a limited time, GoDaddy's Get Online Today toolkit is just $1 a month. Just $1. With the purchase of an annual plan, starting your dream business or putting your business online isn't crazy. Passing on GoDaddy.com's Get Online Today toolkit for only $1 a month? That's a little crazy. We've helped millions of small business owners and we can help you too. Try the Get Online Today toolkit from GoDaddy.com and get a domain name, a website, and email for only $1 a month. Oh yeah, the web hosting and 24/7 live customer support? Totally free. Check it out at GoDaddy.com/radio. That's GoDaddy.com/radio. Domain included with annual plan only. See site for details.
Do you know anyone who pays a utility bill? Of course you do, because we're addicted to energy. But do you know anyone who gets their electric or natural gas service for free? It may sound too good to be true, and to be honest, it would be if not for the recent government-mandated deregulation of energy.
This opportunity to get free energy will end soon. So for more details, call John and Mary Jane Smith today at 781-622-1600.
Barwell, the Spirit of Boston, our phone number 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030, if you would like to join us. We have a very patient James on the phone. James, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's up?
My problem is a Toyota 2013 Camry.
There shouldn't be anything wrong with that car.
Well, I bought it brand new, and about 3 months ago, we started with an acceleration problem.
Okay.
And the first one wasn't too bad. The second one wasn't too bad. But the third one was when I was going into a red light and I was slowing down, and it just went right into the red light.
Really?
Yes. Fortunately, there was no problem or no harm or anything done. But about another week later, I took the car in to where I bought it, brand new, and I told them what happened. And what they told me was that I had to notify them in California about the problem. And I couldn't call from there, so I had to go back home and call them. And I called them, and they said, oh, no, you have to take the car back there. I said, well, I was told to call you. Nope, you take it back there. So I took it back, and as it would happen, when I took it back, I went into the parking spot, and the car accelerated again. I hit the car beside me, and I hit my own car, and I had problems with like $1,284 damage to my car. And they have the car since now 9-4. I brought it there, and I'm afraid to take it because I'm afraid it's going to happen again.
And there's no giveaway of what it is? It just sort of takes off on its own?
Yes, sir. Now, they're saying, no, they wanted 30 days to look at it, see what was wrong with it, and then 30 days if there's something else to fix it. Now, that's 60 days.
Now, have they given you a car to drive?
No.
No?
They will not give me a car. Now, the place where I bought it, they gave me the car for 3 days when I needed it, when we had a problem.
Yeah.
But that's all. But California has said they won't give me a car, period.
Yeah, I mean, everything kind of comes through. Every Toyota you buy in New England essentially comes through the Toyota sales office. They're located down in Mansfield. So it's, you know, so even though California is the parent office, I would think someone could authorize at least a loaner car. That's ridiculous to say that you're going to be without a car for 60 days while they're testing it.
That's right.
Yeah, that seems totally unreasonable to me. I mean, certainly back, you know, a few years ago, there was some issues with Toyotas, whether they were caused by gas pedal problems, whether they were caused by floor mats. There was
right.
a variety of things that from the accelerator pedal sensor. But since all of that has happened, where they went in and they actually cut off a half an inch off the gas pedal and put a shim behind the gas pedal so it would react differently, I haven't heard of anything since then, so I'm not really sure where to go. But I think one thing I would, you know, maybe want to consider doing is also file a complaint with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, so you can at least have this on record to say, hey, look, I think I might have a dangerous car here. You know, what can we do about it? They're not going to do anything, but at least it's going to go on record, because if you're the only one I hear of and, you know, somebody else in, you know, California hears a one and somebody else hears a one here and there, they're never going to hear of it, and they're never going to say, you know, let's do a recall. So,
Well, I'm in Massachusetts, and I notified the Attorney General.
Yeah, that may not be really good enough, because I think the best thing to do would be actually file a complaint with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And I have a, if you have a pencil handy, I have a phone number to call them.
Okay.
It's 888-327-4236.
Four two three six.
Yeah. And what they'll do is they'll take down all the information, and at least they'll be able to say that it was a documented issue, even to the point where you can say damage happened as I brought it into the car dealership. So at least they can start to, you know, consider having an investigation. In fact, in some cases it takes as little as just 5 or 6 people calling into the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to report a problem, to actually cause an investigation to start to happen.
Yeah.
But there's currently no additional updates or recalls or technical service bulletins about your car that have to do with acceleration issues. And to be honest with you, you know, from what we know about car manufacturers sometimes, would they actually really, you know, put that out in public? I'm not sure.
Yeah, but like I said, I notified them out in California, and California gave it to some gal in Michigan.
Yeah.
And Michigan gave it to some gentleman that came out here and looked at the car, and but now it's still waiting.
Yeah, so and his know. Only and his only answer to you was, we got to hold the car for 30 days to check it and hold the car for 30 days to drive it?
That's what they told me.
That's crazy. And to say that and not give you a car is even crazier.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if they said, hey, look, you know, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to verify there's a problem or not. And we're going to give you a car. And if they had it for 30 days, if they gave it to one of them, you know, one of the mechanics in the shop and said, here, take this car home, or the sales manager or somebody, take this car home with the, and we'll plug a piece of equipment into it every day when we send it out. And at the end of 30 days, if they said, hey, we can't really find anything, or what we've done is we've, you know, recalibrated the computer in the car or something, and then they said, you know, 30 days, no problems, we really can't find anything.
Yeah.
Then I guess I'd be pretty comfortable with it. But right now, to hold your car hostage for 30 to 60 days to me just sounds crazy.
Yeah. And what my problem is my wife drives it more than I do, and she says, I don't want to drive it again. She's afraid.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, I mean, you're well outside of lemon law and all of that, but, you know, this might be a, you know, if Toyota's confident enough that there's nothing wrong with the car, you know, you could say, hey, look, you know, trade me out of the car. Give me a really, really, you know, not a normal trade-in, but a really good trade-in to get me out of the car and put me into a, you know, 2015 or 2016.
That's what I've told them.
Yep.
That's what I asked.
And they have the ability to have, you know, the extra money available, sort of as customer goodwill trade-in assistance money.
Yeah.
So even though, and I'm making up the number, but even though your 2015 car might be worth, I mean, 2013 car might be worth, say, $12,000 on a trade-in,
they can say,
you know what, it's worth $12,000, but we're going to give you an additional $3,000 or $4,000 because we know you're not happy with the car, and we have the ability to do that. We have money available to do that as long as you trade it into another car, and we'll give you a good price on that one. So they have that ability to do those kind of things.
Okay, that's great, because I had spoke to the gentleman that runs the place, and he said, you know, he could do something for me, but we didn't talk about money.
Yeah, let's face it, it's always about money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, all I can wish you is good luck, James.
Well, I thank you for listening to me.
All right, good luck.
Yep. All right, bye-bye.
And if you have a problem with a car and you want to report it to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the phone number is 888-327-4236. That's how you report things. Or you can go to their website if you just check out nhtsa.gov. And then there's a section called File a Complaint or Vehicle Complaints or something like that. And there's some great things on that website that actually come in pretty handy. You can look at recalls on vehicles, car seats, tires, equipment. But they also have a new thing now where you can check recalls by the vehicle identification number. So that 17-digit number that's imprinted down by the windshield of the car, the VIN number, you can actually put that number into their database, and it will tell you specifically if your car has ever been recalled. Where when I have to look up recalls, I look them up on All Data, the database that I use for technical bulletins, and it will give me a range. It will say it's up to this number, to this number, but it won't give me the specific car. It just tells me that it's within this range, and it may or may not be recalled because of that. But the NHTSA database is actually really good, and that's a new feature they added, so it's a very handy feature. In fact, the All Data people have also come up with you can actually look up cars by the vehicle identification number, which is a little bit hard to do sometimes if you're looking at multiple types of vehicles and things, but it's certainly very handy to use. Our phone number is 617-770-3030. 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk to us about your car and your car problems. And I think it's our buddy Rick on the phone. Rick, is that you?
Yep, that's me.
Hey, what are you up to?
Well, no good.
No good?
How you like to sometimes say the show's like, you know, a couple guys sitting around talking. And sometimes when guys sit around and talking, one guy will say, I disagree. And today, I disagree with one of the things you had in the AAA magazine.
Okay. That's all right.
You know, somebody talked about putting, you know, a higher grade gasoline in their vehicle, and you said it isn't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I agree with you, it's not necessary, but sometimes it's practical. If you run several tanks of regular for your car and record the mileage, and then several tanks of mid-grade and record the mileage, and this premium, when you get done, you know, figure out how many pennies per mile it costs. My wife talked me into getting a car for riding my motorcycle in the wintertime, instead of my motorcycle, and I did the test, and it would be like 11 cents a mile for gas on regular, which the manual says, but only like 10 cents a mile for mid-grade. So I saved myself money by using mid-grade instead of regular.
Hmm. Well, you're the exception. Because I've also done that same sort of test, and I find it's always a little bit more. And even when the remember the good old days when there was only about a nickel difference between regular, yep, mid-grade and premium, and now we're seeing sometimes 30 and 40 cents difference between regular and premium.
Yeah.
You know, even when it was only that 5 cents difference, I have a little digital thing that reads out fuel mileage. It's just like this. It's like the same thing that's in cars. Yeah. It's called a I don't know, scan something or other. But it just plugs into the port and kind of records instant mileage. And I've tried that. And in some cars, for instance, you know, cars that say premium fuel recommended, so
yeah,
not required but recommended.
Yeah.
On those cars, I've found that you can actually, because the car's designed to run on premium and it produces a little bit more performance.
Yeah.
And if you're not somebody who drives with your foot to the floor all the time, that performance translates into better gas mileage. So you can actually get better gas mileage. But for instance, in my own poor old Hyundai Santa Fe that's got, you know, a million miles on it and it's 8 years old, on that one, it doesn't make any difference. I can run that on 87. I can run it on 92, and it gets the fuel economy is exactly the same, and all it does is cost me more money. But it depends, and sometimes you really have to look at your own driving habits. If you're somebody who constantly drives up and down the hills of New Hampshire, probably having that little higher octane so the engine doesn't knock and ping probably produces a, you know, because there's what, just like the old days when a car knocked and pinged, you retarded the timing, you turned the timing back, and
yep,
that would also take away a little bit of performance. So you would advance the timing to get more performance. Well, if you have a car that's computer controlled and the knock sensor starts to hear knock, it brings the timing back. It brings the timing back, which reduces fuel economy in performance. So if you were constantly going up and down the hills in New Hampshire, actually in that case, maybe a premium would actually be a benefit. Or you're somebody who towed a trailer or a boat or something like that on a routine basis, then it might make sense to do it. But I think we have to agree to disagree a little bit, that I think for the most part it doesn't make any difference, but you can disagree, that's okay.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like as you say, it all depends on the individual, and yeah,
right,
and you know, you do a little research and then you decide what's best for you.
Absolutely, there's nothing wrong with that. And besides, I like sitting around talking to people, so it's all right. We can do this all the time. So how come you have the weekend off, which is actually,
I don't, I'm,
oh,
taking a break.
Oh, okay, all right.
Okay,
well,
so get listening, I'm taking a break.
Yeah, well, if you go back to work, you know, go back to work before anything happens.
Yep. Bye.
Okay, take care, Rick. Bye-bye. Rick is one of our longtime listeners. If you're new to the program, if you just tuned into the program because you saw something announced somewhere, and you say, well, he sounds like he has quite the relationship with that guy, Rick. Well, Rick has been, I want to say, since I've been on Salem Radio Boston for almost, it's got to be closing in on 10 years coming up next year. It has. Rick was one of the first callers that I think ever called into the program, and just been a good supporter of the program all along, and a great guy, and always good to talk to him. Our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. And what he just said, I always thought it would be kind of interesting if maybe not quite for radio because I'd be afraid what would happen, but I always thought it would be interesting to put myself, Craig Fitzgerald, who is, you've seen his work in the Boston Globe from time to time, former editor at Hemmings Motor News and the Sports Car Magazine up there. He is the senior editor for Best Ride, which is part of a big newspaper syndicate. So you've probably seen his name around. Brian Lonis, who is a local South Shore guy who's also has a great website that really focuses on racing, but he's got an interesting view of things. And maybe Clifford Atiyah, whose name pops up from time to time. And just all of us sitting around with a microphone and, you know, one of those things on a, you know, you just sit around on a rainy night and talk about cars. I think it'd be kind of interesting. It, almost like if you're at a restaurant and you're kind of eavesdropping on a really interesting conversation. And I always thought that would be kind of an interesting thing to do. Our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Why don't we go back to the phones, and then after that we'll take a break, and maybe when we come back we'll listen to what Stuart Shore had to say. Good morning. You're on the Car Doctor program.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
John Dean Peabody. Good.
I recognize the voice.
Thank you. I had my front brakes replaced a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said the rears were, I guess, 50,000 miles on the car. It's a Toyota 2006 Toyota Camry, a four-cylinder, 50,000 miles. He said the rear brakes were almost new. He said he didn't replace them.
Mm.
Is that possible?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure, because the front brakes do about 70% of the work.
Right.
So they don't, they, you know, the fronts are the ones that do all the hard work. The rears are the ones that just, you know, they're there to keep the car from essentially skidding around in circles. So if you only had front brakes, every time you jammed on the brakes, the car would you know, do a donut and turn around. So the rear brakes keep the car stable. So you're a good driver who drives pretty reasonably, and
which I am, and
you're easy, you know, you've gone 50,000 miles, so you're pretty easy on your brakes. Well, that's, you know, you're not using the brakes hard, so it's entirely possible. The other thing is maybe there is something mechanical wrong that, you know, the brakes aren't performing evenly, but I think it's more just a result of the, you know, how the brakes work. I think if the car manufacturers thought they could get away with it, they'd only put front brakes in a car because they're the ones that do the most amount of work. But they have to put brakes on all four wheels, and it's not unusual that you can see twice the life out of a set of rear brakes over a set of front brakes.
But my question is, how often do you have to change the brake fluid?
Oh, brake fluid.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that it always comes up as kind of a mixed opinion. I'm somebody who believes that the brake fluid over time can collect moisture. I've had other people say, you know, you really ought to replace it every 2 years because it gets contaminated with moisture. The moisture causes rust. I'm kind of a follow-the-manual kind of person, so for me, I believe in if the brake fluid's in there and there's no recommendation to change it and it doesn't look like it's contaminated, you can get away with leaving it in there for quite a while. Should you leave it in there for 10 years? Maybe not. And if they're doing the brakes, and they decided they wanted to bleed the brakes, well, now all of a sudden you flush out the brake fluid anyway. So depending on how the brakes were done, I've seen brake fluid that's been in cars for 20 years and it still looks fine. Is it contaminated with moisture? Is it going to be as good as it should be? Really hard to say. I was at Blue Hills Regional Vocational School Wednesday night, I think, or Thursday night for a meeting, Wednesday night, I guess, for a meeting. And we got talking with some of the instructors there, and we were talking about they wanted to buy some, you know, they wanted to buy a transmission flushing machine. And one of the teachers said, Yeah, we probably ought to think about a brake flushing machine, which to me is the same as a power bleeder. But they said we ought to buy a brake fluid flushing machine. And one of the other instructors said, you know, all that is a way for shops to make money. It, you know, it's not necessary. And one of the other guys who worked in the trade said, well, whether it is or it isn't, if you're a mechanic and you're going to work at a dealership or sometimes a good garage, they're going to tell you you need to flush out brake fluid and you need to know how to use a machine. So whether you believe it's necessary or not, it's probably a good thing to teach the kids just so they know. So like I said, it's kind of funny. Honda has no recommendation to change brake fluid in any of their vehicles, but Acura, which is really just a Honda, has a recommendation to change the brake fluid. So, you know, so where, you know, how come? You know, it's hard to say. So, like I said, do you need to do it? Probably not. Your car that's 10 years old, would it hurt to do it? Probably not.
But I couldn't find it in my manual either.
Yep. Yeah, you're not going to find it in the manual because there's no recommendation for it. So, but like I said, does it hurt if, you know, if brake fluid is, brake fluid by design, it's one of those fluids that just sucks moisture out of the air. And that's where the moisture comes from. And, you know, ideally, if the system's completely sealed, no one's ever taken the cover off the top of the master cylinder, there's no chance that air's going to get in there. It's a sealed container, so it probably shouldn't collect moisture. But if, you know, the cover was off for some reason, but chances are when they did the brakes on your car, if they didn't replace the calipers, when they forced the pistons back into the calipers, it pushed fluid out of the master cylinder to the point where they may have even drained some fluid from the master cylinder and then added fresh fluid on top of it. So you're probably in pretty good shape.
Well, real quickie, I saw a tip on cleaning headlights, and I tried regular toothpaste with a paper towel, and I scrubbed both headlights, mm-hmm. and they're 90% better.
Yeah, because the toothpaste is like a you know, pumice. It's like something that's got a little bit of grit in it. The other thing, the other thing, here's a crazy one. The other thing I heard the other day, and somebody said to me, oh, did you ever try spraying your headlights with Off? And I said, Off, like the stuff for mosquitoes? And they said, yeah, well, the stuff for mosquitoes. So
right.
I thought they were crazy until I got home, and I didn't have any Off. I think I had Deep Woods Cutter or something. And I went out and sprayed it on the headlights, and it actually took a little bit of haze off of the headlights. So I don't know what's in Off that cleans plastic, but, you know, you can try that too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you, John.
Okay. See you, John. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You're the best. Bye-bye.
Why don't we take a break? When we come back, I have a little bit of a clip from an old friend of mine, Stuart Shore. And Stuart Shore is a guy who's been around for a while. I remember him when he was in the, you know, worked for, I think, one of the car delivery companies. And his father, Marty, is a old-time PR guy, used to be the PR guy for Buick. And he just recently, he's come out with a couple of books, but he just recently came out with a book about Ford performance cars. And I want to get him on the program to talk about that. Why don't we take one more call before we take a break? Good morning. You're on the Car Doctor program.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 2008 Toyota Highlander, and what I'd like to do is, not try to get, rock chips and stone chips in a hood, and I was wondering what you thought of those fiberglass deflectors that you could put in the front, and if you have any other things that you would recommend.
If you really care about it, I would consider actually a clear film.
Mm-hmm.
They have these clear films. Expel is one of the companies. It's the letter XPEL. And it's a clear film that goes over the painted surfaces, so maybe 6 inches up onto the hood. And what it does is it provides an extra barrier. And these newer films, different than a few years ago, these newer films are almost completely invisible. And I can't remember who the guy is, but there was a company up in the North Shore somewhere who was the local distributor, and they actually have complete kits they actually have now. So if you had a Porsche 911, you could have the entire front of the car done. And I've seen some of these, and you know, other than an occasional line, you can hardly tell it's there. The wind deflectors, the plastic piece that goes on the front of the hood, they'll deflect some of the air, maybe a little bit of the stones. They seem to work a little bit better keeping bugs off the car than anything else. So if you were driving out in the, if you were driving to Florida, during locust time or whatever those giant bugs are that fly around, it actually deflects the air up over the windshield a little bit to keep them from splattering on the windshield. The other thing is, depending on how they're mounted, I have seen some where they mount, they actually vibrate just enough to actually cause a little bit of paint damage. So for stone chips, I would go with a clear film rather than one of those Lucite deflectors.
Okay, thank you so much for your opinion.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye now.
Yep, bye.
617-770-3030 is our number. Why don't we take that break, and when we come back, we'll talk, we'll listen to see what Stuart Shore has to say about Jaguar and Land Rover. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the Irish Festival of the Year. This year, the Dorchester Irish Heritage Festival takes place Sunday, October 11th, Columbus Day weekend, in the parking lots of Florian Hall and the McKeon Post, 55 Hallett Street in Dorchester. The Dorchester Irish Heritage Festival features Irish music, dancing, great food and drink, vendors, children's activities, Irish fun, food and culture for the whole family. Irish bands and musicians perform on two stages. The long list of entertainers includes Devery, the Silver Spears, the Fenian Sons, the Gobshites, Pauline Wells, Aaron's Melody with Margaret Dalton, and many, many more. Please visit DorchesterIrishHeritageFest.com for entertainment times and parking information. The Dorchester Irish Heritage Festival, Columbus Day weekend, Sunday, October 11th, in the Florian Hall McKeon Post parking lots on Hallett Street in Dorchester. The fun starts at 11 a.m. and goes till 6 p.m. Visit DorchesterIrishHeritageFest.com for more.
Do shopping online and using public Wi-Fi make you vulnerable to identity theft? Does giving out your social security number put you at risk? Is your dog at risk of identity theft? Yes, yes, and no. Your dog has absolutely nothing to worry about. But we do live in a world that can expose a lot of personal information, and that can lead to having your identity stolen and losing everything you've worked for. That's why at LifeLock, we use proprietary technology to detect a wide variety of threats. And unlike free credit monitoring services, we have a dedicated U.S.-based staff to help restore your identity if it ever is compromised. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But if you ask yourself whether you're worth protecting with the best, isn't the answer a resounding yes? Plans start at $9.99 a month, and now you can get 10% off. Go to LifeLock.com and use promo code NEWS.
Final Thrust Ministries is proud to offer a very special six-session video event, The Art of Marriage, Getting to the Heart of God's Desire, for 3 days, November 6th, 7th, and 8th, at the Sheraton Providence Airport Hotel in Warwick, Rhode Island. For more than three decades, Family Life has been helping couples understand God's design for relationships. Special room rates offered at the Sheraton Providence Airport Hotel, 1850 Post Road in Warwick, Rhode Island. Get details at 857-417-5269 or register online at aom.finalthrust.org.
AM 950 WROL Boston, the spirit of Boston.
A service of Salem Media Group.
Now, let's get back to the Car Doctor.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. Well, I had a chance to spend some time with Stuart Shore. Stuart Shore is the vice president, I think, of Jaguar Land Rover Public Relations. And when I was talking to Stuart, one of the questions I had for him was, what's new with Jaguar these days?
It's a really important time for Jaguar. We're about to introduce a whole new series of vehicles. And with that, we've come up with a new pricing strategy to add some more value to the brand. And then we've added a new warranty across the board, best in luxury class, 5 years, 50,000 miles, both the warranty and complimentary maintenance. So it's a really exciting time. I can go through each of those products with you.
Well, you know, you talked about the warranty, and, you know, one of the things that, you know, the old days with Jaguar was, sort of the old story was, two of everything that broke twice as often.
Yeah,
and that, by the warranty and by doing what you're doing, sounds like you're really trying to change that.
Well, you know, the great thing is the quality is there. We've been winning awards from J.D. Power for initial quality and vehicle dependability service and customer service and sales satisfaction. But then you've got to be able to prove it to the customers who haven't bought your car before,
right,
and don't know it. And so we thought having the best warranty in the luxury class is a great way to support some of these new cars that are coming out, because we're really going after new customers who've never experienced it before. So we felt like it was the right time to do something a little extra special to bring those new customers into the business.
Makes a lot of sense. Well, let's talk about some of the models that are out. I think one model that a lot of people are very familiar with is the XF.
Yeah, the XF's our mid-sized luxury sedan, competes with cars like the BMW 5 Series and Mercedes E-Class, starts at just over $50,000. So we have an all-new car coming out this fall. Sleek new design, typical of a good-looking Jaguar sedan, very coupe-like. Very sleek, very fast. It's all based on aluminum architecture, so it's lightweight, almost 265 pounds less than the previous XF. So that combined with the 340 horsepower V6 or the 380 horsepower V6 makes an incredibly dynamic, fast car. But with that lighter weight, you get great handling, better braking. And maybe the best of all news with the new XF is that we found a way to lower the price as well. So now you can get into a V6 XF for just over $50,000. Is very competitive in that segment.
And the XF available in all-wheel drive?
Yeah, she said rear-wheel drive and all-wheel drive. Frankly, all of our Jaguar models now have all-wheel drive available. And, you know, that's something that customers in America, particularly here in the Northeast, just require in the luxury cars.
It makes a lot of sense. And now let's go upscale a little bit more to your big four-door sedan. And that's a car that truly competes with cars like the Mercedes S-Class, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the XJ, we've got a long history of making a really, really sexy large sedan. I think the Jaguar XJ is one of the most interesting, unique, sporty sedans out there in the marketplace today. It's got an amazing, luxurious interior with a lot of wood and chrome. But the great news, again, is it's built on lightweight aluminum architecture, so it's fast, it's great fuel economy. And for the new model year, we've added a whole bunch of new technology to the interior, the infotainment system, a lot of more standard features such as upgraded stereo, but we've lowered the we've added about $7,000 of standard equipment without raising the price. So again, trying to come in a little bit more price competitive than the Mercedes or the Audi, and as you look at the history of Jaguar all the way back to the days of the E-Type, we were always a sporty, stylish alternative to like a Ferrari or one of those cars, Aston Martin, but for a little bit less money. And so I think we're kind of getting back to our roots, mm-hmm, with that being a good price alternative to the luxury brands.
And then there's the F-Type. Certainly one of the most stylish cars on the road. I personally prefer the style of the coupe, although I love the Roadster though.
Yeah, I mean, the F-Type's amazing. It is, when you think of Jaguar now, I think you got to think about the F-Type, and that's the way we want, especially a new generation of customers, to feel about the F-Type. Coupe and convertible. I'm a convertible guy myself, because I love the curves of the back, mm-hmm, when the top is down. It's really sexy. Now you can get it with a manual transmission, you can get a rear-wheel drive, all-wheel drive, you can get V6 or 550 horsepower V8. Car starts around 65,000. So with the V6, it competes like a Porsche Cayman, but then with the 550 horsepower V8, it can go up against the Porsche Carrera, 911 Carrera S. So, you know, it's a whale of a car, and it's really the flag bearer for the entire brand these days.
It really is, and I had the opportunity to drive the F-Type R Series. And all I kept finding myself doing was turning the radio off and just enjoying
the car. Sounds
exhaust.
Great, especially if you open the windows and drop the top in the convertible. I mean, it's a throwback feeling car, you know. It's a visceral, exciting car to drive.
It really is a European muscle car.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of people compare it to a Corvette in the sense of it's just got its heart on the sleeve.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big engine up front, yet, in our opinion, you know, has a higher level of refinement and sort of European sophistication.
And then in a little bit in the near future, SUV from Jaguar.
Yeah, first one, Jaguar F-Pace coming out in the spring, in that $40,000 to $50,000 price range. Will come with a chance of a four-cylinder diesel or the two V6s again. And our view of a crossover for the Jaguar brand is really dynamic, really on-road performance, very sophisticated, very sleek, and very fast. We think that there's some unique space in the market. Maybe Porsche Macan is in that space a little bit, but we can do that and be a better value as well.
Well, and this isn't a case of taking buyers away from the Land Rover brand. This is just giving somebody who's looking for an SUV that sporty, high-performance alternative.
Yeah, and there's so many people shopping for these kind of cars these days, and so our job is to make a Jaguar SUV and give it a Jaguar design, Jaguar flair, and Jaguar on-road performance feel. And come into a showroom and then take a look at a Land Rover, and that car's got more of an off-road capability, rugged personality to it, and take their choice at which car meets their needs best.
Yeah. And there was a time where Porsche, when they were starting to go with an SUV, everybody said, oh, nobody's going to buy an SUV, nobody's going to, and their SUV is one of their biggest sellers.
Yeah, clearly that's where the market's going. Yeah. People like the extra space, they like being raised up a little bit, they like the all-weather capability. And but people are making them so good these days. Now they're high performance cars and they're sleek and stylish. So it's really a very practical way to get a stylish fast luxury car.
So the bottom line is, if you haven't been to a Jaguar dealer in a while, you need to go.
Well, I think we're changing things.
Yep.
And you know, we feel like people like the Jaguar brand and recognize they make beautiful cars, fast cars. But they always haven't had a car that was in the segments that people are buying these days, or they've been too expensive, or there's been a concern about the warranty cost. So we feel like this next generation of Jaguar, starting the next 6 months, will have new cars in the segments that people want to buy. They're priced affordably, and they got the best warranty in the business. So, you know, it's worth giving a shot.
And if you don't go into a Jaguar showroom and you want to see some Jaguar Land Rovers, see the James Bond movie, right?
Go see James Bond. There'll be three Jaguar Land Rovers and one of the cars that Bond drives. I can't remember.
Yeah. It's he's driven something like that once before.
It might be British.
Yeah, it might be. No, it sounds like a lot of excitement coming from the brand, and certainly here in New England with Land Rover. You know, it's always been a New England favorite, and I think, you know, looking at some of the cars now, and especially with all-wheel drive capability, it sounds like the perfect performance luxury car for New England.
Oh, we're trying, you know, and we want to give people a chance to get into a Jaguar and check its brand out. So, yeah, it's worth checking it out.
Yeah.
And that was Stuart Shore from Jaguar. Why don't we take another break? When we come back, if you would like to join us, our phone number is 617-770-3030. We'll be right back.
On the other side of the street I knew stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, 'cause you moved to West LA or New York.
Nearly 40 million Americans are suffering with hearing loss. And right now, we're on a mission to help as many of you as possible start hearing everything more clearly again. We're giving away risk-free trials of our advanced life-changing hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. We'll even give you free shipping and free batteries for life. But these risk-free supplies are extremely limited, so please call now. 1-800-960-9454. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to adjust to let you find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And Listen Clear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. If you're one of the millions suffering with hearing loss, let us give you a 100% risk-free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-960-9454. That's 1-800-960-9454. 1-800-960-9454.
So, I say to the Duke, you are not going to believe what I just ordered through Salem Media's discount shopping. Half-price tickets to the 4th Annual Connect Fest. Then he asks, what's Connect Fest? So I say, darling, it's just like Soul Fest, with performances by comedian Tony Wolf, Sanctus Real, Michael Sweet of Striper, Seventh Day Slumber, and many more. This fabulous concert is on Saturday, October 3rd at Brockton's Campanelli Stadium. So take it from the Discount Duchess and go to WEZERadio.com, click on our Discount Shopping tab, and order your half-price tickets today. But hurry!
You want to feel connected, informed, included, inspired. So when important things happen, we're here. your local radio and TV broadcasters. America's number one source for news, weather, and information on your radio, TV, computer, tablet, and smartphone. We are broadcasters, always here for you, wherever here may be. Tell Washington local stations matter by texting radio to 52886. Furnished by NAB and this station, message and data rates may apply.
You're listening to The Car Doctor.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. If you would like to join us, our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's go to, I believe, Tom. Tom.
Hi, John.
How are you?
Okay. Problem is, it's my neighbor. Actually, it's a 2006 Ford Explorer.
Uh-huh.
Having a charging problem. His battery's dying on him, so we had a new alternator put in.
Yep.
And it's still doing the same thing. He had AAA come out, actually give him a jump the first time, and they checked.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they checked the battery and the alternator. It was fine. I just went over with my own, volt tester.
Yep.
And when he had it, I checked his battery, and it was just, just for the voltage. And he was fine, 12-something. And then when I had him start the car up, and with my volt tester, it would drop to 11.5 and stay there.
Oh, that's not good.
Right, and then I have him shut the car off, and a minute later I checked the battery, and it was 12-something again. It was up to 12-something. But running, it drops to 11.5 and stays there. But when he had AAA and the others, they said that they got and this is a new alternator put in.
Yeah, how about if you raced up the engine?
Didn't change it at all.
Didn't change it?
No, not at all.
Because, you should be really seeing, something like... probably, 14.5 volts with it charging. So, and that's actually, that charging system is actually controlled by the car's computer.
Yeah.
So that's sort of how that one works. It doesn't use a normal, what we were kind of used to, a single wire system. So what happens is there's a sensor to the computer. It goes over to, it goes over to the computer. The computer sends a signal back to the alternator, which in turn goes back and charges up the battery. So, so there could be something up with the computer in the car. There could be a wire issue off the alternator somewhere, but it's very unusual to see, to see something along, that's that sort of low. You want to see, decent charging system voltage. So,
right.
I think at this point, somebody's going to have to go in there and, see what's going on. Cause I don't like the idea that the battery voltage, with it running, it can't charge the battery at that point. So, there could be, like I said, there could be a broken wire between the alternator and, somewhere in between and one of the connectors, something along those lines could be the cause of it.
If I got to the alternator where the output, the output stud is,
yep,
and I put my meter on that, would I get the reading?
If you
bypass the battery system that way.
Yeah, if you went there, you should definitely see, voltage, somewhere, somewhere. The other thing you want to check is you would want to check for voltage drop. So if you took your voltmeter and you went from the positive side of the battery to that output of the alternator, you shouldn't see any more than a half a volt. If you see more than that, it's telling you there's something up in between, in between the circuits somewhere. So, you need to look at that. But yeah, you should, with that running, you should see at least battery voltage. So if you got 12.7 out of the battery, and if you connect to the top of the terminal of the alternator back to ground, you should see at least battery voltage.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. Not less than battery voltage. And, you know, so you just, unfortunately, they're going to have to spend a little time and just kind of go through it. But, yeah, you should see somewhere between 13 and 15 volts, you know, as the car's running.
Besides that one with the voltage, if it was an older style car, what is the pathway when it comes out of the alternator? Where does that go to get back to the battery, like on a simplified system?
On a simple system, it may just be, you know, it may just go back to there's usually a junction terminal, and half of it goes in one direction, and half of it goes back to the fuse box.
Okay. I always thought I heard something about a charge on the ground cable.
That's always on Ford products. That's one of the things that tends to go bad a lot, is if it loses the ground off the battery. So there might be a big fat, you know, black negative cable off the battery and a little small cable.
Right. Yeah,
and if that little small cable is either, if you look at it and it's not making a good connection, or it looks like it got melted at some point, what happened is lost the ground somewhere. So it's always important to look at grounds just to make sure that everything's okay. The other possibility is, this replacement alternator wasn't any good either. So
right, that's why I was thinking if I could just go to direct for them, but they're a pain in the neck to get to.
That unfortunately is, like my own car, for instance, it was a, my alternator went on my own car, and the directions said something like remove two bolts, remove alternator. Well, after you jacked up the engine, and took a bunch of pulleys out of the way and took some access panels out of the way, and I was kind of wondering why it said remove two bolts, remove the alternator, but the flat rate time to do the job was 2.5 hours.
Just before I forget, I noticed he said that just a couple of days, the day before, one of his rear lights, like a directional or something, started blinking fast and then died out or something.
That could be a bad ground too. So he may have some ground or wiring problems in here somewhere.
Yeah.
And it really is. There's a whole. You know, it's kind of funny. You know, it used to be you had a voltmeter, and that's how you diagnosed what was wrong with your car. And now there's actually diagnostic trouble codes that they can go in and read codes and, you know, figure out what happens and, you know, look at, oh, here's a code for the battery voltage is too low, so now I have to go in and, you know, test this and test that. So there is specific things. So like I said, the first, you know, the couple simple things I would do is check for voltage drop between the ground of the case
and
the negative cable, and then check for voltage drop between the hot side of the alternator and the positive side. And like I said, you shouldn't see on the, you know, you really shouldn't see more than, say, half a volt for voltage drop. And that's just on the regular voltage side, you know, and on ground about the same. You know, if it was 0.5, I wouldn't be horrified by it. But, you know, that's the kind of thing you want to look for.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about doing next. All right. Just run it by. Thank you very
much. All right. Okay. Good luck. Bye-bye. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. I think we have another call on hold. Good morning. You're on the Car Doctor program.
Go on, John. How are you doing today?
Good. Hey, Robert. How are you?
Not too bad. I was listening to your discussion on octane requirements. My own, truck that I have, they do recommend 89 octane.
See, this is the classic example of why radio works. Like just listening in on a conversation. It's like what I said. If it was a bunch of guys sitting around talking about cars, I think people would want to listen. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Yeah, you could be on for 3 hours. I'd be good with that, but maybe you wouldn't be. Anyways, as far as the octane, though, I want all the torque and power that the engine is supposed to produce. So what I usually do, I'll have 87 in one time, and the next time I'll put premium, because it seems like the difference in price for 2 octane points for that mid-grade, it's like 30 cents, where it could really be maybe another dime for the 93 octane.
And here's the, you're doing exactly what the pump does. Yeah, you know, exactly. The pump, there's no, you know, it's one. Not like there's three tanks in the ground. Right. There's a premium tank and a regular tank.
Exactly.
And when you hit the middle button, all it does is mix the two together.
Yeah, and like I say, paying all that for two more octane points, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I definitely want to have at least 89 in there if that's what they suggest. So
right.
I'll probably have 90 or 91 at times, you know.
Yeah, because you're kind of turning into a chemical engineer and you're just you're mixing it, and that's fine. I and if you look around, you'll find that sometimes some stations that aren't as high a volume, when premium gas went up, the premium gas that's in their tanks, they had to pay extra. They had to pay a lot more. And as premium started to come down, unless they're selling a lot of premium, they're still selling the stuff they paid more money for, so they have to keep their prices up.
Right.
So you can also shop around for premium and see the prices go down.
I do. A lot of times I'll use BP, and sometimes one of the stations I go to, I mean, it's only like 20 to 32 cents difference from the 87 to the 93. I'm thinking, hey. You know, that's not too bad. And the mileage, you know, I haven't ever tested it with just 87, so I've been getting, you know, during the mild weather, nearly 22 miles a gallon combined on a pickup with a four-wheel drive. And
that's,
you know,
outstanding.
It's like I was shocked. I figured it'd be worse than my Chevy, but it's better. So.
Yeah, no, that's really good.
Yeah, I just figured I'd throw my 2 cents worth.
No, you know, it does make sense, but you'd be surprised how many people I hear from that drive things like Lexuses and Mercedes, where it says premium fuel, you know, required or recommended, and they complain about how expensive it is.
You just
bought an $80,000 car.
Yeah.
You know, go buy good gas for it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, if you want to just ping and knock and maybe shorten the life of it,
yeah. And most of those people aren't keeping the cars forever anyway. They're keeping them 2 or 3 years, and then they're moving on. But they're like, why do I have to pay 20 cents, 30 cents, 40 cents more a gallon? I'm like, well, because you just spent more money. And, you know, way back when I was at way back in the WJDA days, I was at a car dealership, and somebody came in with a Dodge, back then Dodge pickup, not a Ram pickup, and it had a Hemi in it. And they were complaining that, what do you mean there's 16 spark plugs in this car and the spark plugs are $5 a piece, so I got to pay $90 for spark plugs? And the service manager said, you know, was looking at him and he kind of smiled at him and said, hey, look, you know, you drive like a sport, you got to pay like a sport.
Exactly, yeah. You want to pay for that high horsepower.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, fortunately, the Hemis are back to just a single plug per cylinder now.
Yeah.
But, it is another consideration, but. Still, you know,
there you go.
Power costs money. That's all.
Power costs money. That's it.
Okay, John.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care, my
See
friend.
Right now.
Bye-bye. 617-770-3030 is our number. Well, I had a little time to spend in the reddest red car I've driven in a long time. I'm not sure. It's Torred is what they called it, which I'm not even sure what that really means, but it is a red car. It is the 2015 Dodge Charger RT with the Scat Pack. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But this was, like I said, the reddest red you could be. Black interior, suede perforated seat inserts. Just a pretty interior of a car. Although my wife said, I don't find the seats that comfortable after an hour of driving. I actually found them pretty comfortable. This car is powered by a 6.4-liter V8 engine. It's connected to an 8-speed transmission, and it develops some horsepower. It uses, and it has all the safety features you would expect to see, backup camera, advanced airbags, keyless enter and go. And I want to talk about keyless enter and go for a minute when we get a minute after this. It has 180 mile an hour speedometer, which I think the car can only go 155 miles an hour. But big all-season tires on 20-inch wheels. I happened to see a similar car to this the other day with 24-inch wheels on it. Guy pulled up next to me and gave me a big thumbs up. But this, if you're looking for that kind of throwback car with the hood scoop, with the high-performance sound, it has launch control. So if you want to melt tires off the back of it, you can actually do that. I haven't done that yet. But it is a four-door performance car. I was in a program with a bunch of cops. They're like, oh, why can't we get one of these? But it's really quite the car, and very comfortable inside. You know, illuminated cup holders, and you know, just things you'd expect to see in a luxury car. Great GPS system, HD radio, Sirius traffic, and satellite radio system. But if you're looking for a performance car, and you can't quite get this car, I don't believe, in an all-wheel drive version, but you can certainly get a Charger in an all-wheel drive version, which makes it a really great year-round car. Base price on the car came in at about $39,900 with our option, which included the Napa leather interior, heated seats, heated steering wheel, auto-adjust rearview mirrors, hand controls, the upgraded Beats Audio Group premium sound system with the subwoofer makes almost as many watts of power as it does horsepower, 552 watts of power. All of those options together add in about $1,000. So it's about a $44,000 car by the time you're done. And it claims to get 15 miles per gallon in the city, 25 miles per gallon on the highway with a combined fuel economy of 18. Depends on how you drive it. This is one of these cars that it can 8-speed transmission. It's just cruising on the highway. But if you put your foot into it because you like the sound of the exhaust, your fuel economy is going to suffer. Our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's take another call. Good morning. You're on the Car Doctor program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Got a question about tires. We just mentioned 20-inch tires. I'm a little confused. In the old days, we had like 13, 14, 15. And the sidewalls were, you know, on a 15-inch tire, was a lot more rubber.
Yes.
Now you're talking 20-inch tire. How much rubber is there in the sidewall? And does that give it a rougher ride? And what was the reason for the manufacturers to go to these larger rims?
I think they're in the wheel and tire business and the pothole business. But just to give you an example, the Dodge Charger that I saw yesterday out on the road had these gigantic 24-inch tires on it, and I swear the sidewalls only had about 3/4 of an inch of sidewall.
Right.
So I don't know how you could even drive these things. I think it would be the most uncomfortable car in the world. Now, when you put as an example, I was talking to somebody back.
Well, let me interrupt you for 1 second.
Yep.
So was the ride rough?
Oh, it had to be horrible.
Oh, you didn't.
It had to be horrible.
Okay.
Now, in this car with the 20-inch tires on it, the ride is really firm. The handling is really good. So you offset some of the flex in the sidewall for better handling, but the ride starts to, you know, go down a little bit.
Okay.
Now, depending on the vehicle manufacturer, they can do these, you know, real sophisticated suspension systems where they can kind of make up for it a little bit, and they can actually sort of Lincoln did this, where they can actually sense the pothole coming and they can soften the suspension just as you hit the bump in the road, so it actually rides a little bit better because of that. But yeah, as you narrow down the sidewall, and especially as you put these big fat tires on with narrow sidewalls, the ride's going to change. And like I said, somebody said to me they're interested in, and I think it might have been a Kia Optima, and they said, should I buy the one with the touring suspension or should I buy the regular one? And I said to him, do you really care about how well the car handles? And he said, well, I want it to handle okay. And I said, well, they're all going to handle okay, but my opinion would be go with the standard suspension over the touring suspension, because you're going to get a softer ride, especially here in New England. Now, if you lived in Florida where there's no potholes,
yeah,
it wouldn't be an issue. You could say, well, it's going to ride just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Although they have sinkholes, they swallow whole cars. Yeah,
they take big bites.
Yeah. Now, I had Stuart, talked to Stuart Shore about Jaguar, and over the winter I was driving a all-wheel drive Jaguar XF, their mid-size car.
Yeah.
And I hit a small pothole on one of those winter nights, and I was probably only going about 15 or 20 miles an hour, and it was in my neighborhood almost, and I just hit it just right, no give in the sidewall of the tire. I had two flat tires within 150 feet of the pothole. So, you know, what do you do when you get two flat tires in a snowstorm?
And how was the rim? Was the rim okay?
Fortunately, neither rim got damaged, which was honestly just sheer luck. But
yeah,
it was one of those things that it just pinched the sidewall of both tires. Now, if that was a 4-inch tall sidewall, chances are nothing would have happened. It would have just bounced through the pothole and come out the other side.
And in the old days, if it was a 15-inch tire, it'd be no problem.
Yeah,
if you did ruin the steel rim, the guy would take a sledgehammer to it and bang it out, and you'd be all set.
Yeah, and that is, that's a real good point. And what we're starting to see is some tires now, they're actually putting a extra kind of ridge of rubber around the outside of the tire to protect the wheels just for that reason. Because
you mean like a sidewall?
Almost like a sidewall, yeah.
No, but, I'm not being funny. You know how like B.F. Goodrich used to have the 3-ply sidewall?
Yeah, it isn't that. It's actually a chunk of rubber. You know, if you kind of envision, for want of a better word, a white wall that sticks out away from the car.
Oh, okay.
It might stick out 3/16 or 1/4 inch, but mm-hmm. it's not quite as fat as like what a white wall stripe would be. And, and it's tapered so it looks stylish almost, but it's really there to protect the wheels from, bumping up against curbs. And you can do some, ridiculous amounts of damage. I have a coworker, and I guess she's done pretty well in life because she's got a pretty high-performance Audi. And she hit a curb with her Audi, and this is a car that she only drives on nice days. When she doesn't, she has a Hyundai SUV for the other weather. And she called me up, and she said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Well, you're probably going to need a wheel." And I said, "You're probably, minimum, you're going to need to replace 2 tires. Well, bumping into that curb cost her over $2,000.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad in the wintertime after a couple of snowstorms and it rains out and the rain fills in those potholes, you don't see them.
That's right.
And it's like, surprise.
Yep.
Surprise.
And I am, my wife's new car, I am happy it has pretty conventional tires on it. My own car, too, it has the 16-inch wheels and not the 17-inch wheels, which, as the wheel size gets bigger, they don't change necessarily the overall height. So what they do is they make the wheels bigger and the sidewall of the tire smaller, and all of a sudden you have less give, so less forgiveness when all that stuff happens.
Well, let me say this, John. I hope you get a chance to enjoy some of this weekend.
Well, I have a little renovation project going on, so which is why I'm home and not in the studio. So, so if you got a hammer, come on by.
Oh, sounds like a winner.
Okay.
All right, have a good one.
All right, take care. Bye bye. Well, we are closing into running out of time, and I'm willing to bet maybe Paul Sullivan's almost in the studio there somewhere.
It's not Paul Sullivan.
It's not Paul Sullivan. It's John Costello.
You got that right.
Wow.
I'm on board today.
Wow.
Kicking off the Irish Hit Parade.
Wow.
He gets more time off than the president.
He does seem to take a little bit of time off, but I guess whenever it's a holiday, he goes down and visits his grandchild.
Well,
so.
Yeah, that's true, too. He's probably down in Washington, right?
Yeah, probably so.
Excellent.
Probably so.
What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do with this big Irish breakfast I brought in for you and your wife and Kelly? I guess Kelly and I will have to have the
black pudding,
the white pudding, the whole nine.
That'd be all good.
I was shocked. It's just me and Kel. We'll finish off this box of Joe and everything.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I thought of you a little bit today when
That's
I was
scary.
Reading. I was reading a story about the U.S. Postal Service just ordered 9,260 Ram ProMaster cargo vans, and it's the biggest single customer purchase of this front-wheel drive van, and the Postal Service is going to use the van for large package deliveries. So not regular mail, but large package deliveries. So
no, that's the way of the business right now. We are cruising. We are nailing it.
And do you guys really pick up mail if I leave it in my
mailbox?
Yes,
of course. Absolutely. It's part of my duties. I raised my right hand and vowed and pledged on the sanctity of the mail. Of course.
Of course. Okay. So, save me from that trip to the mailbox.
Absolutely. You leave it out, especially when there's like 4 feet of snow and you're looking out from your nice warm kitchen. You know, give us a little wave.
Yeah. Should I leave you a cup of tea or something too?
Cup of tea. Absolutely. A bottle of the good stuff helps out too.
I don't want to get you in trouble. So
listen, I miss you terribly. I was shocked when you weren't here.
Yeah, well, I guess the good thing is you were listening and you thought I was there, so it must sound okay.
I was listening. I've got like 1,000 questions for you because as I drive, I look at the pavement straight underneath my feet.
You were saying that.
I actually went for an oil change this week, and he said, "Johnny, you've got a sticker that's due at the end of the month. And I said, I know. I said, do you want to put one in? He goes, no, you need a new floor. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? He said, no. And he measured it all out, and we're going to put some sheet metal down.
Put
on
some
the
sheet
floor.
Metal. So make it at least so you're not getting carbon monoxide poisoning.
It was crazy. I got home to my girls the other day, and I was soaking wet. And they're like, Daddy, your jacket's not wet. And I said, I know. I said, I changed my clothes from the rainstorm, but, you know, drive it through all the puddles. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we need to get that. We need to get that fixed for you. That's
yes,
all
we do.
Because
I just want to get one more winter. One more.
Yeah. How many winters have you been saying that?
This is my third.
Third. Yeah, that's okay.
I just, you know what, John? I just feel like if it's not super broke, don't fix it. And if she's still running, what the heck? I may as well drive her right into the ground.
Yeah, well, it's always cheaper to fix an old car than buy a new one.
That's true. So, if you ever saw my car, I'd like to take you for a ride sometime. Honestly.
Yeah.
I think I'd say, really, Johnny? Yeah. Really?
It's okay. You know, cobbler and, you know, shoes and all. You know, sometimes my car isn't always in the best shape.
A group of nuns rode by me the other day, like, waving their arms at me because my car won't basically go over 35, so.
So
get out of the way,
you know,
Sonny.
It's good to have, you know, divine intervention.
That's right. Great show today, John.
Hey, thanks. And so what's on for the Irish Hit Parade today on almost Columbus Day?
You know what? I've got a great show for tomorrow. This actually just hit me like a side of bricks coming in because I didn't know I was doing it till yesterday.
Yep.
I actually forgot. They asked me, but I forgot. So. Hmm. I actually have some music that I was going I'm at a loss of words today.
Play?
To debut from Kilkenny last week that I didn't last week on my show, and I'm going to do it today. So,
oh, good.
Some brand new music coming all the way from County Kilkenny. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah,
and tomorrow, a little Irish Italian music?
Yes, we're broadcasting live from the festival.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you coming out?
You never know.
No, you've got a reno project going on.
Yeah, I know.
You're not getting out.
Yeah, well, it depends how well it goes today.
Okay, good.
Okay, John. Thanks.
Get going.
All right. Yeah, we got to make room for John Costello filling in for Paul Sullivan on the Irish Hit Parade. And until next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, be good to your car. And thanks to Kelly for filling in for Marita today. Did a phenomenal job. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.